Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Patriots are AFC champs, guys, and, you know, should we be surprised after all this season? Should we be surprised?
No. They were the favorite coming in. They were the favorite during the season. And then making it even more impressive or more notable is they got hot late in the year. You know, everybody wanted to say the Steelers had won 9 in a row. Well, the Patriots had won 8 in a row. So you were a hot football team. You were the best football team. You were at home. You took care of business. A little easier than I expected it to be, though.
Yeah.
Well, let's take the week as it unfolded. Wednesday, the AFC conference, the suits from the league come down, they kind of take over. The backdrop changes from Zooty to the AFC. And Tom Brady comes out right off the bat, and he looked a little different to me. He looked like he wanted to show people that he was all business and he wasn't having any of this.
Yeah, you and I went at it pretty good on PFW in Progress about it, and I think we agreed that he was certainly surly. He was quiet, he was short. He didn't have any smiles, didn't have any interaction, and you had speculated that's because this was an NFL-mandated press conference.
That's right.
And as you like to say, you know, he doesn't suffer fools. He's not going to play along. I don't blame him. If that was his motivation, I don't blame him one bit. He's been put through a lot because of Roger Goodell, because of what the league has done with the suspension and everything that they've tried to do to his name. So if that was part of his mindset, I don't blame him one bit.
He was also coming off a bad performance, where if you want to just look at it football-wise, he had thrown a couple interceptions. I think his passer rating was, 68-6 against Houston. They were in a dogfight. They probably didn't legitimately want to be in or think they would be in. And it was a work week coming up against their best game of the year, the game they need to perform the best. So I think you could look at it that way, too.
Yeah, so he comes in, and for whatever the reason, it was all business coming in. He wasn't going to be playing smiley face with the press. And then they come out in that game, and really from the get-go, you know, they had control. They start off by going against the grain, what they usually do, and they win the toss, and they don't defer. They take the ball first, drive down, get 3 points, and they never trail.
And surprising Tom Brady, because he didn't know that. He thought they won the toss. He was going to get some Gatorade and sit on the bench.
Yeah, I think, I don't know.
What he said, Fred.
I know, but also if you listen to Bill Belichick on Monday, he kind of snickered at that.
Who are you going to trust more, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady?
I'm going to go with the coach.
Probably a longer show.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Bill Belichick, but that's beside the point. It was a little bit out of the ordinary. I was surprised by it because I feel like Belichick, above all else, likes that possibility of the double score. He went a different way, just like he did last year in the AFC Championship game in Denver. This time, it worked to perfection. When was the last time they even trailed? I mean, I feel like it's been at least 2 months. This is kind of similar to 2003, where they had that one game late in the year against Houston that they trailed, and then they went like the last 6, 7, 8 games without trailing. And again, 3-0, 10-0, you felt like, it's slipping away in a hurry here for Pittsburgh, and it was.
Well, aside from, I think the coin toss is a little overrated because I watched the whole game and the way the Steelers played defense, and didn't matter whether they took the ball
first, last, second, third,
they were going to kill the Steelers. The Steelers had no plan. I thought Keith Butler, their defensive coordinator, a disciple of Dick LeBeau. Dick LeBeau used to get undressed by Tom Brady. Keith Butler got undressed by Tom Brady. They didn't cover Chris Hogan. It was a horrific game plan for Pittsburgh in the offense.
And this is a point that I want to bring up. You know, all season, everybody around here has been talking about how good is this Patriots defense. And I think that there are ways to, you know, get the right people on defense and get them playing where they're just not embarrassing themselves every weekend.
I think what you've seen Bill Belichick do this year with Matt Patricia is exactly that mindset. Let's keep everything in front of us. Let's play it safe. Let's rally to the ball. Let's tackle well. There's not a lot of frills. There's not a lot of fancy exotic schemes that are involved. They'll blitz from time to time. We've seen the defensive backs get involved in the pass rush a little bit in the second half of the season. But it's nothing out of the ordinary. It's a lot of cover two. It's a lot of three deep at times. They might mix and match personnel. It's three corners, three safeties.
You identify the other team's strengths.
Absolutely, and take it away.
Right.
I mean, find out what the number one thing is. Now, certainly on Sunday, Le'Veon Bell going out of that game was huge. Not only it was entirely what Pittsburgh wanted to do offensively, but it allowed the Patriots to then adjust to Bell not being there, and now we're going to double-team Antonio Brown. And I think that eliminated the possibility of Pittsburgh putting big numbers on the board. They moved the ball at times. I thought in the second quarter, Roethlisberger got hot, and they sort of got in a rhythm there. But then they had the huge goal line stand to sort of stem the tide there.
But I want to go
back
to
they weren't going to do it without Bell.
I want to go back to that because there's a subtlety there. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, it looked like they had Bell contained anyway. But the difference in what you just said is the game plan for the Patriots defense. When Bell was in there, they had to focus on, or they decided they were going to focus on Bell. And once he was out, they could change that focus to Brown.
Yeah, and he wasn't really in there. So we won't know. I mean, certainly, I think he ended up with 6 carries for 20 yards. But, you know, they are claiming, and it certainly looked it, that he got hurt on the second carry that he got. So he wasn't, it's not like he had like a 2.5 quarters where they shut him down and then he got hurt. So it's irrelevant. He got hurt in the first quarter. And he had one carry after the midway point of the first quarter, the first play of the second half.
But him not being there, even though Williams did okay, they didn't have to have the focus on Williams that they would have had on Bell.
Yeah, I don't think it would have mattered.
Don't think it would have mattered.
No. I'm not saying that the Patriots would have won either way, but it just allowed them to do something different.
I think Pittsburgh would have scored more points if Bell didn't get hurt, but not enough to win.
Because their defense was, I go back, atrocious, whatever word you want to use for it, and I include the coach in that. I'm not just throwing the players under the bus. I'm saying the coaching, the scheme, adjustments.
And if Roethlisberger is right, that he felt, this is his words after the game, that he felt it was maybe the moment was a little bit too big for some of his young guys. I blame that on the coaches.
Yeah, and I also think, to Andy's point about Butler, I think the stage was too big for him because I think they wanted, and I think they recognized going into the game that they needed to do some things differently. And I think they were afraid to do it. Mm-hmm. And Tomlin talked about it after the game. We had some things in mind and we didn't pull the trigger on. They didn't get the pressure that they wanted. They didn't blitz very much, which we didn't expect them to blitz. But when they did, they didn't get home, and they gave up big plays on some of those plays where they tried to get some pressure. But they never changed. And Andy's point is right about Hogan. Chris Hogan was outstanding in this game, but half the time he was uncovered. It's not coverage breakdown. It wasn't he beat somebody. It was these zones that nobody accounted for Chris Hogan. And until they finally did, then Edelman went crazy. You know, so it was like they had no answers to what the Patriots were trying to do. And I don't think what the Patriots did was anything different than we've seen a million times.
They didn't even play to their strength, being the Patriots. You know, to me, it was an easy day for Tom Brady. You want to talk about his emotion coming into the week. His post game, he was giddy. He was like a little kid up there. He swore at the podium. He was, you know, crap, we're happy to be in the Super Bowl. And I think that was A, because they're going to the Super Bowl, but B, he had just come off a fun game where it was almost easy.
And so was Bill, not so much after the game, but on Monday, he was feeling really good about his team and just proud of the work that they put into this game. And I know for a fact that his view of this team is that they're so coachable. He really loves this team. It's older players who haven't had it yet, like Chris Long and Martellus Bennett, and then the guys who have been here and have experienced it, and then the real young players that they don't know what they don't know.
Right.
And they're mixing really well. You could see it after the game, you know, Martellus Bennett dancing with the cheerleader. Who does that? You know, but he
Chad
did
Johnson.
It. That's true. Or Ocho Cinco would do it, but you know,
that same person,
same guy.
Yeah, it was a great scene after the game, and then Robert Kraft gets up there, and I know a lot of people thought that he had been dipping into the sauce a little bit, but I can tell you for a fact, he wasn't. He was trying. It didn't work, but he was trying to get the fans to say one more, right. And so he stopped the sentence. And it was really awkward, and it didn't sound good. But I can tell you, he was not in the sauce. So,
glad you cleared
Kraft,
that up.
That was Fred Kirk,
unlike
your
me,
guy. Your
next
guy.
Next week in Houston.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Fisher Plows. A whole new way to attack winter. And also brought to you in part by AT&T. AT&T. Mobilizing your world.
This week's From the Heart, we look at a matchup that's 2 weeks in the making. The Patriots defense with a chip on its shoulder against maybe the best offense in the National Football League. But I think they're ready for it. And you know why? Because I think they prepare for it each and every day on the practice field. They deal with Tom Brady. They deal with multiple running backs who are dangerous. They deal with a tight end. They deal with multiple receivers. And I'm describing the Patriots, but I could just as easily be describing Matt Ryan, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, the various weapons that the Falcons bring to the table. We know Julio Jones gets a lot of the attention, but they're a deep, varied offense. They're dangerous, but the Patriots are ready because they face one similar every day in practice.
Just like Andy, I'm going to focus a little bit on Atlanta right now, but the other side of the football, the defense. the side of the ball that gives the Falcons the trouble. It's not a very good unit. They rank between 25 and 32 in just about every category: yards, points, sacks, red zone. They're not very good on defense, but they do a couple of things reasonably well, and I think this is how they're going to have to play against the Patriots. They're not going to shut New England's offense down, but they need to come up with some pressure. They need to come up with some turnovers, and this is how they play. They like to play downhill. They're a little bit smaller, faster unit. They like to swarm to the football, a lot like Seattle when Dan Quinn was there. He brought the same kind of principles with him to Atlanta. I think they're kind of reminiscent of the 2006 Indianapolis Colts, another unit that wasn't very good, but they played to the strength of the team, and that was the offense. They like to get the lead, then they like to come after you. That's what Atlanta wants to do, and that's what the Patriots can't let happen.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Trash Talk this week, we're going to give our first impressions of the Falcons. They took care of business, sent Aaron Rodgers home. Paul Perillo, how dangerous are they?
I think my first impression is they're very dangerous offensively, and I was impressed with not just Matt Ryan. He's probably going to be the MVP, but just the amount of different options he has. I wasn't really all that familiar with the tight ends. I wasn't all that familiar with guys like Gabriel as a wide receiver. We know about Julio Jones, obviously, but the two running backs, I know you like those two guys. Just the amount of weapons they have on offense.
Yeah, I do think they're sort of dangerous. Like, on paper, you look at that depth chart and the production and the versatility, and certainly Matt Ryan, pretty much wire to wire, has had an impressive season. I think everybody was waiting for him to fall off or have that bad game, and it just hasn't really happened yet. He's continued to carry that team. Now, he wears number two, so I don't know the last quarterback that won a Super Bowl wearing the number two. I don't think it's really existed. I think he's supposed to have a one before it.
Can't win then.
But I have doubts about the quarterback and the head coach. It's what we always talk about. You have Brady and Belichick, number seven. They've done it all. They've lost. They've won. They've, you know, had to adjust. Everything that goes into this game, they've done. Quinn and Ryan, and maybe this is a little bit of my remembrance of his time at BC and sort of the idea that BC never got over the hump. Can the Falcons get over the hump? I still have doubts about the core centerpiece of that team, the coach and the quarterback.
And that's another thing that impressed me, even though it's a negative, the way you presented it, is that I thought that they came into the playoffs maybe with the most pressure on them out of any team because they just hadn't had any postseason success. And I know Quinn just got there, but Matt Ryan has been around. He's had good seasons before. Can't quite seem to crack into that elite quarterback club. Looks like he's knocking on the door, and this is how you get through, is by winning in the postseason. So he played those two playoff games under a lot of pressure, and he played outstanding.
And I look at the weapons, and you mentioned I do like the running backs. And if I were going to pare it down to a matchup, that would be the matchup that most concerns me. I think the Patriots will fight a good fight with Julio Jones. I'd be stunned if he has 180 yards and two touchdowns again. With Butler, the safety help, McCourty, I would be stunned. I think there's some matchup issues in the middle of the field that are going to get maybe glossed over by some people because of Julio Jones and the outside weapons, but that would be what would scare me most for the Patriots defense.
And you go back to the last time the Patriots defense had really any trouble at all, and you go all the way back to the Seattle game, and what was a big part of that, I thought, was C.J. Procise as a receiver out of the backfield. So you bring up a good point. Those two guys, Freeman and Coleman, definitely capable of making you look bad in space. Going to be something the Patriots defense is going to have to be
aware
of.
And the one thing we haven't talked about, Vic Beasley, pass rusher, right? An elite pass rusher.
That's because I'm not concerned about the defense.
Not concerned about him, but we know if you're going to beat Tom Brady, you're going to get some pressure. Maybe we are kind of holding it against Bud Dupree and James Harrison. They did nothing, so maybe we think nobody will be able to succeed against Tom Brady, but Vic Beasley is a capable breakout pass rusher for them. All that being said, I think we both agree Patriots big.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by Nissan.
Well, the Patriots have made it to Houston. It is an amazing feat. It's beyond comprehension to explain what they've done. No other team has done it. No other team may do it. So we're going to go down to Houston, and there's going to be a lot of storylines. And the one that we won't be able to get away from is Roger Goodell and Tom Brady. What happens if the Patriots win and Tom Brady has to go up on that podium with Roger Goodell? You know, if it was me, I wouldn't go up. I'd let my teammates go up, and I would stay down, you know, celebrating with the rest of the team, I would not go up. I don't care if I win the MVP or not. Because at the bottom line is this. Regardless of anything else, Roger Goodell was okay saying that the quarterback of the New England Patriots was a cheater and a liar based on the evidence that they had. Think about it. Think about it. He called Tom Brady a cheater and a liar based on the flimsy of evidence. And if I'm Tom Brady, that doesn't sit with me. I'm not going up on that podium. And that's the bottom line. We're going to hear a lot of talk about this all week. But in Tom Brady's mind, it should be a closed case. I'm not going up.
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
This week, Patriots linebacker Landon Roberts joins us. Landon, obviously a huge victory on Sunday. What was it like, just the aftermath of winning the AFC title?
Oh, it was a great experience, you know, just being able to see the confetti go in the air, you know, with your teammates and your coaching staff that you worked hard with all year, man. It was a great experience. It was just as you expect it to be, you know.
Now, I know this team has won a lot over the years, but as a rookie, do you come in and you feel like, you know, well, you go to the Super Bowl, that's what you're supposed to do, or some of these veterans told you that's you got to enjoy this?
You take it one game at a time. You know, you don't look forward. You don't look too far. You just look on the task in hand, you know, and that's the culture of our team. We just look at the task in hand. We take it one week at a time, and that's it. And everything that we do, we start in practice.
I know you haven't really gotten a chance to go all the way into Atlanta yet, but a couple of really dynamic running backs in Freeman and Coleman. What have you seen from them so far?
Man, that whole offense is really explosive. And, you know, they have a great team. And our scout team is giving us great looks in practice. And it starts in practice, you know. And our scout team really do give us great looks week in and week out. And them guys will give us one again this week.
And you have a chance. You're going to be practicing in your old stomping grounds, right? University of Houston. That'll be a pretty cool experience, I would think.
Oh, yeah, it's really exciting. I really never thought I'd be practicing there again, you know. So it's really exciting. But at the same time, my mind is just focused on the task at hand. That's Atlanta. So I'm not really all into the hype of you know, I'm excited about it being at U of H, but it's really not of a hype thing. You know, I'm there as with my team, you know, to practice, to go out there to perform at the best of our ability.
I know you'll be all in on the Falcons next week. Good luck in Houston.
Thank you.
Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, everyone, it's time to answer the questions that you sent to us here at PFW. This first one comes from Andre. He says, I don't want to take away from the great way the Patriots defense has played, but I have to question the play of Eric Rowe. It seems like he's getting beaten many times, especially in the playoffs. Is it just my observation, or is this going to be a problem in the Super Bowl?
Don't they call it trail technique, Paul? He trails the receiver.
Did he get out of phase a couple
yeah,
of times?
I think it's accurate. If there were one negative you looked at from the way the defense played against Pittsburgh, Rowe let a couple guys get behind him. He got lucky. Kobe Hamilton, Sammy Coates dropped balls. You got fortunate. Those could have been big plays. Maybe they changed momentum. But he's also your number three corner. And we know this is not a defense that you're asking to win every game. It's a defense you're asking to win along with Tom Brady and a great offense. So are there individual parts that are less than ideal? Do they have the chance to give up plays? Has Rowe struggled at times? Sure. But why are we fixating on that in the week leading up to a Super Bowl?
I do think receivers get
Andre's negative.
Him, but yeah. He doesn't get dusted, so he's not even in the picture.
It's the NFL.
He's making the throw be good, and he's making the receiver make at least a contested catch.
And so he's actually like he's the guy. He is close enough. You're right. He's close enough. If the rule were different, if they went to the college rule, he is close enough to just tackle the guy and take the 15 yards. He hasn't been toasted beyond that.
Yeah, and it's the NFL. Okay. Passes are going to be completed. You know, somebody's got to let them up. Kem writes in, says, I wish the Patriots played the Cowboys in the Super Bowl because Atlanta is the only team in the league which Patriots cannot outscore. Wow, then they're going to lose, I guess, right?
Yes.
My question is, why not play man-on-man against Atlanta given their, other than Julio, targets prove more capable of scoring at will?
Well, first of all, I think they have a lot of guys that could beat you in man-to-man coverage. I think their running backs are dangerous. I do not want to see necessarily safeties or linebackers having to deal with Coleman and Freeman in the passing game. I think Sanu is a good secondary receiver, complementary receiver. And I don't care who you put on Julio Jones. I don't like that matchup if you're going to go man-to-man. You need to double him. Yep. You mix some zones in, keep them off balance. But another negative question here. Yes, they have a great offense. They have a terrible defense. They have one of the worst defenses in football in terms of yards, points.
How are they going to stop the Patriots?
Exactly, Fred. Thank you.
All right, our next question comes from Bobby Santinello, and it's about your favorite player, Rob Gronkowski. He wants to know, with his contract coming up, I know he's signed for a couple more years, but is it time for the Patriots to start thinking about maybe life without Gronk?
No, Paul.
That's the best you could come up with.
I don't want to be mean.
I would love to argue with Andy on this, but no. He has 3 years left in the deal, and at least in the short term, it's really affordable. The question will be, does Gronkowski look to add more money? Because he's now gotten to the point where, based on the other tight ends and some of the deals that have been signed since he signed his, he's now on the underpaid side. But on the flip side, he's been injured again, and he missed this last part of the year. The Patriots proved they could win without him. I want no part of getting rid of him. If he doesn't want to play and he wants to hold out, then maybe you have some different decisions to make, but no way am I looking to move on.
Just to clarify my answer, should they look to move on from him? No.
No.
Should he be looking for more money? No.
No.
That's the answer.
Now,
right.
If those start to collide, who knows
That's
where
what
that
I'm saying.
Goes.
Then you have to revisit and make a different decision.
I think
Patriots are always better with Gronk.
I think any
Fact.
Team would be. He's one of the greatest ever.
So keep him on yours.
All right. We will be back next week in Houston. I want to make sure your questions are a little bit more positive next week, as we look and focus really on the Atlanta Falcons.
Fred Scolding.
We'll see you next week.